Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010 XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And that's a wrap on a lot of things. Jaguars mandatory minicamp wrapped up. The Stanley Cup 2019 wrapped up. We head towards the weekend, a Thursday night. Still lots going on, including the United States Open, where the lack of wind is really made for some comfortable scores. At last look, 44 golfers in red figures. Just amazing if you look at what's going on during the first round, a night round, if you will, at Pebble, 68 degrees, now down to 66, so the cooler temperatures continue to roll in. Kind of made a case last night comparing Pebble to Sawgrass, because I think, you know, if you get away from Augusta, that is always going to be number one. As far as golf courses, I believe, here in the United States of America. And as great as it is across the pond, and I love the British Open, or as they say, the Open, I'm a weather guy. You know, I don't need to go play golf in Ireland if it's 40 degrees and raining. I'd rather play right here, where it's 95 degrees and I'm working up a lather. That's just me. Now, I've never played Lynx golf in Ireland or Scotland or any of that cool stuff. And when it comes here next month, I'll be as excited about the Open as everyone else. But for me, I think you look at the players and you look at Sawgrass and then you look at Pebble. And I made a comment last night and I was kind of criticized for it. I was actually called a homer. I mean, called a homer for a lot of things. I never thought I would be called a homer defending Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. And that's exactly what I was. And the point I made, because I've been to Pebble a couple of times, including being there 19 years ago when Tiger Woods put on arguably the most dominant performance of his career, winning the U.S. Open in 2000 by a score of 15 under par. The weather out there can be awful, just atrocious. You know, some of those old sayings about San Francisco and, you know, I mean, people do enjoy that you can get subpar 75, 80-degree temperatures during the day, and then all of a sudden it's nighttime, brother, and you need yourself a fleece. You need yourself a windbreaker. You may need yourself a damn St. Louis Blues sweater, for crying out loud, whatever it takes to get away from the shivers. That's the way it is, and that's not the case here. So I'm going just by a nose. Sawgrass is the number two, and Pebble Beach, number three. Am I biased? Absolutely. Now, I've been to Pebble Beach a couple of times. Once the weather was spectacular. Once the weather was not all that great. But anyway, the golf is happening today, putting up some pretty good numbers. Three right now tied at five under par, including Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, and Louis Oosthuizen. And we'll keep you updated. We'll move throughout the course of the evening. Tiger at last look was even to par. A lot of golf left for him. We'll have a full leaderboard update brought to you by StreamSong, which is a tremendous golf getaway. It's only a couple of hours down the road in Lakeland. And you talk about a great golf resort. It is out of this world. Okay? StreamSong red, blue, and black. Been there three times. Going to go again. Great place to bring the cronies. Great place to just go drinking and golfing. It's also a lovely, lovely place to bring the wife or girlfriend. Hell, bring them both. It's that cool. I mean, you've got six different restaurants, a rooftop bar, unbelievable hotel, spa. The ladies love spas. I'll get them all spot up. You know, they got all that great stuff. It is phenomenal. So that's coming up momentarily as we go into the night with Rick Ballew. All right, the Jags put a wrap on things. Dan Popper, my first guest, he's up in about 10 minutes. You know, I'm happy. I am. I am as excited about this offense as I believe I ever could be based on seeing what occurred, considering the circumstances. And I always try to taper that because I've been so wrong in the past about being overly excited, kind of like the Warren Zevon, excitable boy from Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Young folks out there, do yourself a favor. Check out that LP. One of the greatest of all time. While you're at it, rolling the second track, my favorite. It's called Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner. Great stuff. Of course, you'll go straight to Werewolves of London, but that's, you know, it's about Deep Cut Nation. Okay? Hits, classics, standards, That's average. That's Joe Sixpack. All right? That's a C. And that's what it is. That's a burger as opposed to a steak. Learn about deep cuts, people. Be special. Do things a little bit extra. Learn. Adjust. Broaden the horizons. Go to Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Put on the excitable boy. Trust me. Get back to me. You'll love it. It's a great album. One of the greats of the 70s, and now late, Warren Zevon. But I'm very excited about what I saw. I like this camp. I like this passing offense. Nick Foles has earned respect. I think he has with members of the media. I'm not going to speak for anyone else. Certainly mine, and listen, I'm not afraid to admit my faults. I have many. One was I thought they should have drafted a rookie quarterback. Now, we don't know the answer to that equation until a few years down the road. We have no idea what to expect until a couple of years down the road. But so far, the eye test says yes. So far, the eye test says go out and buy season tickets. How can you afford not to be there on opening day against Kansas City? Ask yourself that one question right now on the 13th day of June. How can you not be there for opening day, Jacksonville against Kansas City? And I think Jacksonville is going to be an underdog in five of their first six games. And it is such an important first month. And I understand that, relax, look what happened a year ago, 3 out of 4 out of the gate. The only blemish was an ugly game here, a 9-6 loss against Tennessee. You just think of how the first month went a year ago, and then everything really bottomed out. Began at that game at Kansas City, and then the massacre at Dallas. But Kansas City a year ago was a little bit misgiving because they moved the football. Somewhere to the tune of, what, 475 yards, nearly 500 yards of total offense. And I know that can be a little bit misleading because you can pick up garbage yards in the second half. They were moving the ball in the first half. They just could not do anything once they got into the red zone. The red zone offense should be automatically better if the offensive line is healthy, if Leonard Fournette is in shape and healthy, and if Nick Foles continues with the accuracy with his football. There's been a lot of shade thrown on Blake Bortles this week by defensive players. I don't think they're wanting to drop scuds on Blake. I think they're just being truthful about how different things look with Foles throwing the football. So I'm encouraged. I really am. And the next 5.5, 6 weeks or whatever it is, I think all you can hope for right now is that the guys break away. Okay, have some fun, get in a little bit of vacation, stay out of the headlines, because if you're making any headlines now, they're not good headlines. The only good headline that could come aboard would be something that sounds a little bit like this. The Jaguars and Unique Ngakoue have agreed to terms. Outside of that, any news you get is not going to be joyful. Maybe you'll get a report of an injury here, a report of an injury there. Doug Marrone talked about it a little bit earlier today. Not a surprise. Cam Robinson, Marquise Lee, they'll begin the training camp process by not being able to give it a solid go. They'll be held back at least somewhat. That's not a surprise. I think right now the bigger blow is obviously Cam Robinson. I like what I have seen out of this wide receiving core. And I'm not even including D.D. Westbrook because he's been nicked up and he exercised his right to make minicamp voluntary. Or, excuse me, OTAs, voluntary. The three C's, Cole, Shark, and Conley have done some nice things. At least that's my opinion. All right, we got a ton to do. We absolutely do. We're rolling till 9 o'clock tonight. Dan Popper's up next. He is with The Athletic. He covers the Jaguars beat. He'll join me. We'll discuss all the ins and all the outs. Then we'll roll through the night. Sure, I'm going to give a little bit of love to St. Louis. I'm not going to ignore it since my team took one right across the face. I kind of threw in that towel after game four. If you listen to me nightly, thank you. But you heard my tone then. You got the real feeling from me then. Matter of fact, I think that when I tell you what I actually did last night, from the second period on during the Bruins game, I don't think you're going to believe me, but I'm going to share that message with you coming up in just a little bit. We'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open. A ton to do right here on a Thursday night. Let's get things started as Dan Popper joins Rick Ballew. We go into the night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a full leaderboard update coming up momentarily, brought to you by our good friends over at StreamSong. Just go to StreamSongResort.com for all the details. Play blue, red, or black. I have played them, and I love them. It is worth the trip. Only 2.5 hours or so from here. You get out of the First Coast, play in Lakeland. Outstanding golf. Tiger Woods, after three consecutive pars, birdie, double bogey, birdie, birdie. So he is at one under par, the legendary par three, seventh hole today, only playing 109 yards. It is beautiful. It is always just a treat to watch the greatest golfers in the world try to handle things there. And with the wind really settled down today, we're seeing some great scores. Fowler 500, Oosthuizen out 500, Schauffele at minus five as well. So three golfers right now tied at the lead at five under par. And let me see, there are officially, I have 39 golfers in red figures. And there's a lot of golf left to play on this Thursday night for us. Of course, 3 hours behind out in Monterey, California. All right, let's bring in Dan Popper. We wrapped up mini camp today. The Jaguars will break for 5.5 weeks or so and then get ready for training camp. And overall, I thought it was a pretty good look, particularly with the offense. Let's bring Dan Popper with The Athletic back on to Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Dan, thanks for a couple of moments.
No problem, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, listen, let's start with the offense again, Foles, particularly to the three Cs, Cole, Conley, and Chark. I'm pleasantly surprised. I thought it was better than I expected going in, being able to see much more. All three can run. We saw the deep ball, but I just think overall 4 weeks worth hanging on to the football, the extension of the offense, their route trees. I understand they're only in gym shorts and T-shirts, but I'm impressed with what I saw offensively.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think, first of all, the connection between Chris Conley and Nick Foles is very apparent. They obviously played together with the Chiefs. But I had some question marks about what Conley was going to be heading into this season, but it looks like he's going to be that number one threat for the Jaguars, particularly because Foles is so comfortable giving the football. Pretty much every single pass on an 11-11 drill went to Conley, and it was often the completion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very promising sign. He's a big, fast receiver and could provide a very viable option for them down the field. And then the other guy you mentioned is DJ Chark. He's a completely different player. And I actually got to catch up with him last week and look at my Q&A with him on theathletic.com/Jacksonville. But from a maturity standpoint, he really took it upon himself to mature as an individual, as an adult. He's really approaching the season as a professional. He went down to Dallas, worked out with a wide receivers guru who had worked with the likes of Antonio Brown and Sterling Shepard. And he's come back, and his routes look sharper. He has a greater knowledge of what defenses are going to be doing to him. He has a greater knowledge of how he needs to run his routes to get open. His hands look better. He's a more confident player. And that would be absolutely enormous for this offense because he gave them nothing last year. He was more of a special threat than he was a factor on offense. And if he can be a playmaker for this offense, all of a sudden this receiving group looks a whole lot different and a whole lot more exciting.
You know, Keenan McCardell around these parts is loved. The great runs that he was a part of in 96 and 99, and everyone loves Keenan, but they replaced four position coaches, including guys that Tom Coughlin went way back with in New York. Been very easy to dismiss him, and I, you know, I made the point at the time, Dan, that they must have felt that he is the best man for this job in the maturation process of DJ Chark and D.D. Westbrook. And Keelan Cole really had a bad second season. But you know, I think that was kind of lost in all the transactions and bringing in a new offensive coordinator as well. It's been very easy to replace him. They must have felt that he is truly the best guy to get to these younger wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. He's an incredible NFL player. And when you're dealing with NFL players, having that kind of clout matters. Your players are going to listen to you more intently when you've been on the field and you've done it under the lights and you've done it on Sunday. I think that's a huge factor. And I think another factor in all of this is that Blake Bortles was throwing these guys the football last year, and also Cody Kessler. And it's hard to pin the wide receivers' regression or lack of progression on the receivers' coach when you don't have a guy throwing the football who's a capable, established starting quarterback. And I think that factored into it as well. But his clout goes a long way. These guys listen to him. They respect him. And he clearly knows what he's talking about when it comes to playing wide receiver in the National.
Dan Pauper, our guest, joining us from The Athletic. I'm Rick Ballew. We go till 9 o'clock tonight right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. And you understand canned answers and lip service, but you can tell when you interview these players by their facial expression that there really is a difference between Foles and Bortles. And, you know, there's been a little bit of throwing Bortles under the bus. I don't think it was intended to be that way, but it was just, you know, flat-out brutal honesty by a lot of these defensive players. They can really tell the difference when they're getting and trying to cover these wide receivers or what have you, how much better the ball is coming from Foles.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And let's be clear about one thing. None of these guys voiced their displeasure with Bortles. They all like the guy, but nobody was in the locker room hating on Bortles after games when the offense put up 150 yards of total offense. But there was frustration.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. There was frustration when the defense goes out and gives up 10 points, gives up 13 points, gives up 7 points. You know, there's frustration there that you're not able to pull out some of these games, and a lot of it falls on the shoulders of the quarterback who's not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the defense is obviously excited that, okay, we've got a Super Bowl MVP back there, and so we can rely on this guy to, at minimum, hit these crossing routes, hit these slant routes, make some plays when we need them, hit the 3rd-and-5 comeback route, and keep the defense off the field. Because what happened last year is you had so many 3-and-outs, so many failed offensive possessions where the offense held the ball for less than a minute, and all of a sudden the defense makes a stop and they have to go back out on the field. And over the first half, maybe you can keep the other team off the board or limit them to 3-7 points, but over the course of 60 minutes, that's going to wear on you. It doesn't matter how much talent you have, how great your defense is. Eventually, you're going to break if you're on the field at all.
Marquise Lee will not be available at the start of training camp. It appears that Cam Robinson will not be either. I think they'll be fine early on without Marquise. We just kind of identified everything that's going on with the wide receivers. But, you know, just give me your thought now. And I know it's so hard because they're not hitting. They're not in the ditch. But where will this team be if Cam Robinson's not full go to begin the year?
I mean, that would be a huge concern. It would be a huge loss for this team. And I think it's a possibility that he won't be on the field. I talked to Cam Robinson this week, and he still doesn't have target data as far as when he'll be back. He told me he wouldn't necessarily be disappointed if he's not on the field for week one just because he wants to take his time with this thing. But where you'd be, they've been shuffling a bunch of different guys at left tackle. It looks like he would be that left tackle week one if Cam isn't on the field, and then you'd have Juwan Taylor starting at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also shuffled in Josh Wells at left tackle, thrown Leonard Wester in there with the first team a little bit. So they're certainly trying to find a contingency plan here if Cam Robinson can't play, but they would be in a bit of trouble. I'm not going to lie. They really need Cam Robinson to be back on the field because without him, the offensive line is not as formidable.
Would you make a Jalen Ramsey when he addressed the media on Tuesday?
I mean, Jalen's going to be Jalen. But I didn't think the whole contract comment was a very big deal. There was never a chance that they were going to extend him this offseason. Just because he has 2 years left on his deal, he has the fourth year of the rookie contract, and then he has the fifth-year options they've already exercised.
Mm-hmm.
So next offseason was really what made sense if they were going to extend him, and that's when you'll probably see Ramsey hold out if he decides to go that route. But I thought it was also interesting. I'm actually curious what your take is on this. Him saying that I'm not going to be a leader.
Right.
He doesn't want to be the rah-rah guy. He doesn't want to be breaking down the huddle. Because Tashaun Gibson was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a vocal guy. He's a passionate player, an undrafted guy who wasn't afraid to speak his mind. And he sort of set the tone for that secondary in terms of what they wanted to be and what they wanted to show themselves as. But it was interesting that he said, even with Gip not here, that he's not going to be a leader. And it's sort of like, okay, who are they going to turn to? Is it going to be A.J. Boye? That's really the only guy you can think of. It's not Ramsey, just because they got two young players at safety, and then there's, you know, D.J. Hayden isn't a particularly vocal guy, and then behind him, who's an undrafted second-year guy, Quentin Meeks, who's an undrafted second-year guy. So I was sort of interested that he said that and said it without really being asked about it.
Yeah.
Because I would expect that in this situation, with Gibson gone, with Barry Church gone, that Ramsey would say, okay, in my fourth year, I'm going to step up and be that guy.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me because, you know, there's been so many alphas on that defense. And even go back a couple of years ago, a guy like Aaron Colvin was very vocal, even though he was a nickel guy. And, you know, he's no longer there. And obviously, Telvin was their biggest leader, both on the sideline and on the defense, and he's not there. So, you know, Malik Jackson kind of led by example, would get vocal at times. So now all of a sudden, here we are in, you know, is it Miles Jack? Calais Campbell's got kind of the grandfatherly leadership by example, but really, who is the guy if they need a big stop? Who are they looking at now on that sideline to make sure they're on the same page when they get back out on the field?
Right, and that's a really great point, because I've talked to multiple defensive guys that have said they're missing Telvin's voice. Now, you can talk about how he had a down year in 2018, and that's certainly the case, but he was the talker. He was the smack talker. He was the guy who was going out there and yelling and keeping the energy up, and that's crucial to have. And they said they've been missing it so far, but it's still early in the spring. And you don't necessarily need that kind of energy until the pads come on and it's hot out there in July. And so I'm sure that will start to sort of take place and come into focus as training camp gets underway. But you know, you threw some good names out there. I mean, Miles Jack as the middle linebacker, as the guy who's calling the plays, directing the signals, he's probably a guy that has to step up and maybe take Telvin's place. But it'll probably be a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
You know, guys in that defense respect Avery Jones. He's the longest tenured Jaguar, and he's a respected voice in that locker room. He's known the defense longer than anyone else, so he's a guy that people can turn to. But they're missing Telvin just from a leadership, from an energy standpoint, for sure.
Final moment with Dan Popper joining us from The Athletic. Rick Ballew, we go till 9 o'clock tonight right here on 1010 XL in 92.5 FM. Do you believe that in the next 5.5-6 weeks they will get a deal done with Ngakoue?
That's tough. I think they do. I really think they're going to be able to find some middle ground. At this point, you know, Yannick is probably looking for a contract in the Frank Clark, DeMarcus Lawrence range, which would average out to about $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt the Jags are going to go that high because, you know, they don't. Yannick is obviously an incredible pass rusher, and he's produced with the best in the league, but he's not at that level as a run stopper. And so that's why they don't want to give him the $100 million.
Right.
I would imagine they end up settling somewhere in the $17 million range. The D Ford contract is probably a good guideline.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect them to get the contract done, and here's why. They want to win in 2019, and they need Yannick Ngakoue on the field if they're going to win games in 2019.
Yeah.
Even though Josh Allen is there, they need Yannick Ngakoue. He's going to be a huge part of whether this team is successful in 2019, and they can't really afford to have him holding out into the season.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I think they're going to find a way to get this done. I mean, it seems like the Telvin distraction is over, and you know, I guess during OTAs that was the good time for it. I think the only time that will really be asked now is when members of the national media roll in. But all of a sudden, if on top of that you've got this contract hanging over the head of Ngakoue, it could be problematic. So I think they'll get it done as well. All right, Dan, what are you working on over the next month and a half until camp breaks?
Yeah, so keep a lookout for tomorrow morning. I got a breakdown and recap of training camp. I've been doing these sort of weekly notebooks, so check that out. I got a little something on Leonard Fournette. Talked to him this week. A little something on Cam Robinson, Will Richardson, a bunch of different stuff in there, so check that out. Then I got a few features in the works for the next 2 weeks, working on something on Raquel Armstead, the fifth-round pick out of Temple. So keep it plugged into theathletics.com/Jacksonville for all my work. Appreciate
Got it. And we'll mix in a little bit of golf until then, because once the season gets here, golf days are done. Enjoy the next 6 weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Rick.
All right, there he goes, Daniel Popper, joining us from The Athletic, and good to have him on this Thursday night as camp has wrapped up. And overall, I'm pretty happy about what I saw. There's a few disappointments that I have. you know, not being able to see Josh Allen because of his banged-up knee early on. But I think overall, you know, considering some huge scuds, the Telvin one and the Yannick Ngakoue one, and then, you know, Leonard Fournette and Jalen, I mean, there's been a lot of issues. There really has for a team that's coming off a 5-win season. All right, so we have all that to get into. Much more coming up on the Jags, plus the United States Open live from Pebble Beach. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC. Okay, right now, $16,500 off the new GMC Sierra $1,500 crew cab. It is the truck that I drive. I love it. You buy one of those right now, the powertrain warranty is in effect. You buy a brand new Buick or a brand new GMC from Key, the powertrain warranty is there. That is important. That is huge. There's not another dealership in Jacksonville that does that. Talking about Key Buick, Key GMC, located right there across the street from Tinseltown on the corner of Southside and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Aaron Wise is joined. Louis Oosthuizen, Ricky Fowler, and Xander Schauffele all at 5-under par. Wise out on the golf course. 4 holes remain for the youngster. Scott Piercy is 4-under par. And then a host of golfers at 3-under, including Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and Justin Rose. I'll give you a full leaderboard update brought to you by Stream Song Resort coming up at around 8:05 tonight. All right. Last night on air, first hour, Blues go up 1-0. It was a goal that was deflected, but it was one that Tuukka should have made. He didn't stack the pads, and right between the legs, 5-hole. St. Louis up 1-0. I'm handing off to Denny and James. It's, you know, 9:00. 7 seconds remaining, and Pietrangelo, on an absolutely inexcusable move by Brad Marchand, where with 10 seconds remaining in the period, he calls for a line change. I mean, that's on par with Florida State having 10 defensive players on the field against Florida. You just don't do that. And he did. And it was down 2-0. So, yeah, I'm driving home. And, you know, LeVay, I told you, I felt like I blew it out after game 4. And everyone that I associated with on this, particularly my cronies back up east and my brother in Tampa and others, said that I was crazy. And then they, of course, all got violent after game 5 because that was the slew foot and the non-trip call and the immediate goal. And St. Louis took game 5 and went up 3-2. And everyone complained again about how bad the officiating is and how it's affected everything from the Kentucky Derby to the Final Four to the NFC Championship game to the NBA playoffs to the – so whatever. But I was, like, okay with it. I lost it in game 4. And I lost it in game 4 because I thought they had a chance to win the series right then. They would have been up 3-1. And they loafed. They sat back. They got one shot on goal in the final 10 minutes of the third period, which is just mind-boggling. You know, you say what you want about college basketball, and, you know, there's such a difference between pro and college. I was talking about it during the College World Series, which gets underway, obviously, Saturday. But the one thing you really hold your breath on in college baseball is a routine ground ball. You don't know that the infielder is going to be able to pick it up and throw it over. I mean, there are a lot of booted errors. We talk about droughts all the time in college basketball. I mean, you can play well for 20 minutes, maybe, you know, the first 10 minutes of the second half. Then all of a sudden you go into like a 5, 6, 6.5, 7-minute scoring drought that you see in college basketball. Frankly, you don't see things like that in any other sport. It's very mysterious to me, always has been, why there are you know, oh, the team went on a run. Well, of course went on a run. The other team hadn't scored in 7 minutes. Stuff like this doesn't really happen in hockey. It did in game four. And then Danton Heinen, who Bruce Cassidy shouldn't have played, loafed, didn't pick up the stick of O'Reilly. And that changed that series. It's such a dramatic change between three games to one and two and two. And then you give all the credit to St. Louis. You can yell about the refs, do whatever you want. St. Louis went into Boston and won three straight games. Boston took game one. St. Louis took game two, game five, and game seven in Boston's barn. I won't listen to anyone that's trying to tell me anything differently. So I'm in my own little world. That's the way that I think sports fans should be. So I'm driving home, and, you know, I get in, and, you know, the game's on. It's 2-0, and I watch the first 5 minutes of the second period. LeVay, I kid you not, the GF would absolutely acknowledge this story. I was so put off by the lack of performance by the Bruins, who dominated period one. They just couldn't score. I mean, they were such a better team last night in the first period, yet they allowed soft goals defensively. I bet I watch, out of the 82 regular season games, I'm not kidding, I bet I watch 70 of them. I am a huge Bruins fan. You know, I don't always watch them live, especially now that I'm working nights, but I go back and I rewatch. And so anyway, I'm making the point that I've probably watched 70 games, and I've obviously watched every game throughout the playoffs. At the five-minute point of period number two last night, I flipped over and started watching freaking wrestling on tape from Monday Night Raw. I was so set that they had no prayer of winning that game that I didn't want to sit there and deal with, I guess the word I'm looking for is punishment. As a diehard Bostonian who has watched meaningless games in October, November, December, January, February, March, April, and then all through the two-month jaunt to the playoffs, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, 5 minutes into period number two, I put on the tape of Monday Night Raw. I had completely given up. And this wasn't pre-planned. This wasn't anything that I said that this is going to be part of my healing device. I wasn't even that aggravated. And I don't know what happened to me. And I'm trying to figure things out. The only other example I can ever think of is my brother will attest to this, because I was actually in Jacksonville. I flew back from Chicago, went to a game Saturday in Tallahassee and Sunday in Jacksonville. It was one of those yearly, I'll fly back to Jacks, do a Saturday game and a Sunday game, then fly out first thing Monday morning when I was working in Chicago. And I never saw when Dave Roberts stole off of Jorge Posada and then David Ortiz brought him in with the single. I'm not going to lie. I was in bed. I was drunk. I was toast. They were down 3-0 in the series. They were down in that game. And I said, there is no way Boston can come back. My brother woke my ass up. I was with the Godfather as well. He was watching the game. I called it a night. Red Sox won it. Of course, they went on to win four straight against the Yankees and swept the Cardinals in the World Series. I did the same thing last night, and I wasn't expecting a different outcome. But my point is that I gave up on Boston at the end of Game 4. And I think I'm the only one who did that. Because, again, I talk with a lot of people who were deeply involved in this series. And you can make the point that Boston was robbed by the officials in Game 5. You never heard me complain about that. Boston absolutely dominated St. Louis in Game 6. They went in there and just ripped them apart. And they dominated them for the first 20 minutes of Game 7, yet they were down 2-0. So I don't know. I'm not proud of it. I can't explain it. I haven't bet in more than 8 years. I almost had that itch yesterday that I was so ready to play St. Louis money line. I could see it. I'm like a psychic. I felt it. Well, I told you all along. I told anyone who listened to me, it's over. St. Louis flipped this series. And they went in. And they got it done, winning game 2, 5, and 7 on the road. You have to give all the credit in the world to St. Louis. So anyway, you know, I'm on all that. I'm not throwing furniture around. I'm not F-bombing. I'm kind of dealing with the fact that it's over. So I get up early today. The alarm goes off at 8 o'clock because I got to get blood drawn. Okay? So I go see my doctor. I get Jags practice. I go in. I'm miserable in the morning, especially after the Bruins just lost the Stanley Cup. Can't drink any coffee. I'm fasting. So I'm sitting there at the doctor's office, and I kid you not, LeVay, they spent 30 minutes gouging inside, looking for veins in my right arm, in my left arm. They go to the top of my hands. They can't draw any blood.
Now, did they tell you, like, ahead of time to drink, like, a ton of water and, like, squeeze the stress ball?
Well,
I mean, usually they'll tell you, like, tips like that to get prepared so you can find a vein easier.
Yeah, but it was... It's been so hot at Jags practice, and then I walked. I've been taking those walks up over the, I still don't know what part of town, over by Riverside, but you can walk out all the way up to the bridge where the trains go underneath, the old Rusty Bridge. I don't know what it's called. It's a great walk. That's one of the real issues I have with Jacksonville. I don't say anything bad about Jacksonville, but it's really like no place to walk here. There's like no good parks. You know, I go out and I walk at Michler's on the beach, but boy, I mean, Jacksonville really could use some cool places to walk. I mean, one great thing about Chicago is they had ponds, and a lot of times they'd be frozen. They had great little, you know, parks and tracks or whatever you could walk around. Jacksonville really lacks in that area. You know, not to mention it takes forever to go from point A to point B. So I stopped there, and then I cut the lawn yesterday, so I really sweat out a whole ton. So I got up today, and that's exactly what they said to me. They tell me I'm dehydrated. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Just get some. No. So there for a half hour, they can't get blood. All right, cool. I drive to the Jaguars mini camp, watch the Jaguars practice. I go back to the doctor's office at 1 o'clock. They're finally able to get blood out because I was doing nothing but just drowning bottle after bottle after bottle of water. So that's the way that, and I've had blood taken out of me, you know, 100 times. But I almost wonder, was that a little bit of payback for the fact that, see, I'm in that superstitious kind of corny way. You know, if I have like one sock on, I'm not going to take that sock off if my team's winning. I actually watched game 6 in bed. I think it was on what, Saturday night or Sunday night? I don't remember now. Must have been Sunday night.
Yeah, that was Sunday night.
Yeah, because I partied heavy on Saturday night after golf. So it was Sunday night. I was just kind of laying in bed, and I was like, the Bruins are up. I'm not leaving bed because I'm that way. But because of what happened here and how I left the Bruins. I cheated on the Bruins last night. I watched all those meaningless games, and then in the biggest moment, I left them behind. So I dealt with needles all day today and no blood, and I think that's kind of my punishment. So there you have it. That was a true story. All right, also coming up tonight, much more on the U.S. Open. This is kind of cool, getting night golf. Now, we'll come back. We'll discuss that. Tiger Woods, is he making a run? What about Brooks Koepka? It's unheard of. He's going after his third straight United States Open. Again, 4 golfers right now at 5 under par. So we will have a full leaderboard update coming up, brought to you by StreamSongResort.com. That'll be in our second hour. And, of course, news and notes. Got a lot going on tonight. Hey, late night, if you're staying up, how about the Battle of Wrong Armors beginning at 10:30 tonight? John Lester, Clayton Kershaw, Chavez Ravine. How cool is that? I mean, what, 350 wins nearly? Actually, more than that, I would have to say. I think it's about, what, 185 for Lester and maybe 160. right now for – so I guess that number is pretty accurate. But anyway, tonight coming up in Chavez Ravine, battle of a couple of lefties there between Lester and Kershaw. So much more to do. We go till 9 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Ricky Fowler, no longer an excitable boy. He's 30.
Excitable boy, they all said.
And he's 0 for 38 lifetime in majors. He is also one of four golfers right now at 5 under par, leading after one round at the 119th United States Open. Come on, Ricky, sing along with us. Oh, yeah. Lawyers, guns, money. What else do you need? All right, a woman. You need a woman. Full leaderboard update coming up in just a couple of minutes. The Jaguars wrapped up minicamp. And overall, pretty happy about the way things look, particularly offensively. Andrew Norwell did not participate today. The same ankle that affected him a year ago. Knocked him out about the last 2 weeks of camp. Cam Robinson continues not to work, and when he does, it's on the side, along with Marquise Lee, both battling back from ACLs. Remember, Marquise went down during preseason. Cam Robinson went down in week two, so they have had ample time to try to get ready, but that is an injury where there's just not a standard time. Everyone heals differently. Everyone rehabilitates differently. I think right now you can make the case that neither of those two will be available for week one against Kansas City. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm saying it's believable, though. And it would hurt the football team an awful lot if Cam Robinson cannot go. I think they'll be all right without Marquise Lee. I mean, I want him back to pay him a lot of money. He's the leader of that wide receiving core as far as experience and what have you. But I think the young guys, Chris Connolly's not exactly young, but I think Keelan Cole and DJ Chark have had a really good camp. I keep leaving D.D. Westbrook out of it because he wasn't at them all. You know, D.D. has exercised his right to make it voluntary and also was nicked up. I think he had made probably about 5 or 6, maybe 7 out of the month's worth of work. So, anyway, we'll see. They get about 5.5 weeks off, and then they will return very, very, very late July. The rookies report, then the veterans report, and I want to say pads go on either the final day of July or like August 1st. So, hey, enjoy your time. It is the 13th day of June. Before you know it, ladies and gentlemen, football will be here. Enjoy yourself now until the grind of the NFL and football in general returns. All right, let's get to the U.S. Open. Still ongoing. Tiger looks to be like in a little bit of trouble on the 10th. That is Tiger Woods. After pars on 1, 2, and 3, a birdie on 4, a double bogey on 5, birdies on 6 and 7, parred 8 and 9, so he went out with a 34. He is on the 10th green. I'll give you an update here momentarily. Our golf report brought to you by StreamSongResort.com. Great golf resorts have great options. This summer, StreamSong Resort is offering a variety of ways for you to experience Florida's highest-rated golf collection. That's StreamSong Red, Blue, or Black. Choose from 1, 2, 3-night stay-and-play packages or simply contact one of StreamSong Golf's getaway specialists to create your own Stream Song experience. This summer, make plans to play Stream Song. It's America's hottest bucket list golf destination right here in Florida. Go to StreamSongResort.com. It is fantastic, folks. Give it a shot. StreamSongResort.com. All right, four golfers right now at 5-under. In the clubhouse, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Louis Oosthuizen. Aaron Wise, two holes to play. He is 5-under as well. Scott Piercy, a stroke behind. Nate Lashley, a stroke behind. So a lot of Americans, six out of the top seven, dominating the first page of the leaderboard so far. Rory McIlroy at 3-under, a 68 today for Rory. Brooks Koepka through 11, 3-under par. Let's look at his card. Let's see. Brooks Koepka began with the birdie. Birdied 3, birdied 5 and 6, posted a bogey on 8, went out with a 32. He has parred 10 and 11. Getting ready now for the par 3, 12th hole. The long par 3, plays 200 yards. Long for me. Maybe not long for Brooks. Justin Rose, 3-under par. Notables at minus 2, Martin Keimer, John Rahm, Mark Leishman, Bryson DeChambeau, Graham McDowell, Hideki Matsuyama, Sergio Garcia. LeVay, did you pick Sergio Garcia? Did you know something that's going on that I wasn't aware of?
He was my sleeper. I'll tell you, Rick, I had a good feeling about him.
Francesco Molinari is 2-under par. Others of note who are at 1-under, Jason Duffner, Zach Johnson, Jason Day with Stevie Williams on the bag. Shot a 70 today. Tyrell Hatton, Matt Wallace at 1-under par. Tiger Woods, again, he does save par on 10. So Tiger now will go to the 11th hole at 1-under par. The par 4, 395-yard par 4th 11th hole. Of course, this is a par 71 at Pebble Beach. So that leaves us with, let's see. So the number's shrinking here at night. You know, before I got on the air, there were 44 golfers in red figures. We're now at 34 golfers at red figures. So it's obviously tougher to post a better number here at night out in Monterey, California, than what they were able to do earlier this morning and afternoon. All right, some golfers at even par. Danny Willett and Dustin Johnson both posted 71s today. Tommy Fleetwood with his 71 even to par, as did Patrick Reed. The ageless David Toms, even par, through 14, played the backside first. He's got four holes to go. Kevin Na, even, through 13. Paul Casey, even, through 12. Lucas Glover, even to par, through 13. Matt Kuchar, even to par, through 11. Let's see. Luke Donald, a plus 172. Phil Mickelson, a plus 172. Are we all right with the fact that Phil Mickelson is never going to win the United States Open? Yes, we are. You're going to look back on it. I don't know if it would be like Greg Norman in the Masters. I mean, even though Norman won other majors, Phil won the other three. He's won the Open, the British Open, that is. He's won the PGA Championship. Of course, he has, what, three green jackets, I believe? But the Grand Slam doesn't look like it's going to happen for Lefty. Plus 172 today. A couple of other notable. CH3. Charlie Howell III, plus 1 through 14. Patrick Cantlay, plus 1 through 13. Henrik Stenson, plus 1 through 12. Brent Schnedeker, plus 1 through 12. Adam Scott, plus 1 through 12. And Jimmy Walker, plus 1 through 12. Let me give some other notables that I think the locals will care about. How about Billy Hurley III, of course. You got a 3 on your name, I'm going to mention your name, and a plus 273. Billy Horschel today, the former Gator, plus 2. Shot a 73. Justin Thomas, a plus 273. Kevin Kisner, a plus 273. Let's see if there are any abominations today. Boy, plus 2 so far for Jordan Spieth through 10 holes, got 8 to play. And I think that is about it. Webb Simpson, former Players' Champion, a plus 3 through 11. So still some golf there for him to play. Bubba Watson shot a 75 today. That's 4 over par, so did Ernie Els. And that's it. That's all I want to give you. Jim Furyk, boy, plus 5 through 12. So he's got a ways to go if he wants to make the cut coming up on Friday afternoon. There you go. Our leaderboard update brought to you by StreamSongResort.com. Make plans to head on out there. Play red, blue, or black. Play them all. You'll love it. It really is the perfect destination for the friends, for the buddies. I would lean towards the side of serious golfers. You can still go out there and have a real good time. It is wide open out there. You know, I've played blue three times. I've played played red three times. Still have never played black. Hopefully I'll be able to do that soon. But just go to StreamSongResort.com, and you'll love it. I think you'll be very surprised by the prices. You go out there, play one night, two nights, three nights. But a great place to get with a bunch of buddies for a golf getaway. It's also a fantastic place to bring your wife or girlfriend. Really is. And, you know, restaurants, spas, all that type of deal. Pedicures, manicures, what are they called? Manicures? I've never had one. Manicures?
Did you just say Medicares?
No, I think I said manicure. But I've just never had one before. I'm told that a lot of guys, my girlfriend's like, man, I'm in the disguise all the time getting pedicures, manicures. I'm like, really?
You'd be surprised at the amount of guys that do go and get that stuff. There's a lot out there.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm Mr. Tough Guy or anything. I mean, I've taken a lot of punches over the years, but there's just something about going in to get a mani and a pedi. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. But it's great at Stream Song. Yeah. Ladies love the golf as well, but if they don't love the golf, I mean, you can spa them up, mani and pedi them up. They could swim laps in the pool and start ordering champagne and wine. You're out playing golf. I mean, what more could you ask for? Great hotels, phenomenal place. StreamSongResort.com. All right, when we come back, a couple of things I want to get into around the NFL that has interested me a little bit. And let's spend a moment tonight on Game 6. Golden State back in Oakland. Toronto, do they wrap things up tonight? Hey, we saw it last night. Anything can happen in a Game 7. Could we really have three straight by Golden State? We've only seen it once in the NBA Finals. That was back in 2016, and Golden State was on the other side to the King and Cleveland. Could that possibly come into play? We'll discuss that as we continue to roll into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, some rock and roll. I need some live music. Got a couple of tickets today for the Tedeschi Truck Show coming to Jacksonville late this month. Hope they have an opening band. I'm going to have Derek on. I text him quite a bit. But tickets say the show begins at 7. They'll never go on at 7. In late June. In Jacksonville? I mean, the sun doesn't set until around right now, right? So I wouldn't think that would be the case, but we'll see. I'm sure I'll hear some good music down in the Keys this weekend. Always good music down there. I'm looking forward to it. And then the Stones come in July. So Tedeschi Trucks and the Rolling Stones. Looking forward to both those shows. Right here in Jacksonville in late June, and I want to say July 19th is when the Stones will be here. I'm on vacation next week. The week that I return, I am going to have, ladies and gentlemen, some ticket giveaways for the Tedeschi Truck Show. So keep it right here on Into the Night with yours truly. Big fan. I'm sure Susan Tedeschi was upset that the Boston Bruins lost last night. A wonderful person from Boston. There's not many of us out there. You can count them on basically a couple of hands, but we are there. Of course, I'm that way. And Susan Tedeschi absolutely is. According to the text line here, LeVay, the 1010XL text line, I'm really missing out on manis and pedis. I mean, look at all these comments that are coming in. A lot of these we can't read. The last thing I want to do is lose my job 2 days before I go away on vacation, so I can't read these comments, but apparently I'm missing out
That's the big thing that I'm reading here too, Rick. What have we been doing with our lives, apparently? Because apparently manis and petties for guys are a legit thing and a popular thing.
It's got me wondering a little bit. What else am I missing out on? Fishing. I would say I'm missing out on that. I mean, whenever I hear that promo, hey, guy went and took my decoys and all, it's like I'm really missing out on that. I was talking to Loggeman during the beginning part of OTAs about the huge, enormous great white shark that he saw in film, 60 miles out, I think, off of Mayport. But I'm, like, pretty satisfied. I mean, I have free time. I play golf, you know. I'm always put my kids first, but golfing is what I really like to do. I'd like to spend more time on the water. I don't necessarily have to fish. I think I got one of those things that's built in that I have friends with boats, but whenever they ask me to go and it's like the day to go, I'm going to get the infamous, the boat's not working. I'm kind of that guy. And it's either the boat isn't working or they say, do we really want to spend all day out there on a boat with Baloo? So yeah, I don't know which one it is.
I would say I've never had that issue with my friends. I feel like all the people that I know that own boats are like, yeah, let's hit the water. They ask me that like every single weekend, it feels like.
Well, then maybe I'll have to tag along with you and some of your young friends and we can go running and ripping.
Let's do it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Hit the waterways.
You know what? Maybe I'll take them all out for manis and petties before.
I don't see why not. Maybe we'll take the jet skis up to one of those places, get some manis and petties.
No. I ain't getting in no water.
Well, come on, Rick.
Jaws has affected me more than any movie I ever saw. Tiger way off. Into the rough, and trust me, there is rough at Pebble. And he is grinding here. Maybe he'll go to the plotting comment when he wraps up his round. Right now on 11, currently at 1 under par. So what else are we missing out on, LeVay? What are some other, you know, manly secrets or things that, you know, I've always wanted to get like a massage, but I just...
That's the big one I'm thinking of is massages, because I feel like that's what a lot of women go and get. When in reality, though, our backs are hurting too. We could use a massage, right?
Ah, hell, I mean, you know, I can't say we carry the weight. That would offend. Can't do that. Women work hard.
What about like a sauna at a gym? I feel like that's mainly a women thing, but I mean.
I don't feel like I'm in the part of my life right now where I want to go to saunas anymore. I want to go to gyms anymore. I mean, I'm done with that. You know, I try to get cardio in and lose some weight. As I was saying last night to Denny Thompson, my problem right now is that I get done with the show, I'm hungry. I got to find a way, maybe it's mind over everything else, not to eat when I get off the air. If I could do that, I'd be in perfect shape. For me. Maybe not for you, but for me. I sweat every day. I told you the story about how I was dehydrated, crying out I couldn't get blood out of me this morning. I went to go see my doctor. But what else is out there that you know, kind of like the finer things that dudes do? Because let's face it, there's a lot of dudes now doing these manis and petties. I always thought it was really basically a thing that only women did.
I feel like that's a lot of things these days. Look back 20 years ago, guys aren't doing half the stuff they are doing now. I guess the times that have changed that drastically.
Yeah. I don't know. Send me your thoughts on that. 1010XL text line, 641-1010. I'm going to listen to any ideas. Need to find a way to make. I'm going to spend a week out in the Keys and rediscover myself. It's called rediscovering Baloo. This isn't like a midlife crisis. I don't have issues. I don't have problems, as far as you know. But I'm looking to enhance, get better. I think I'm leaning towards fishing. I think maybe doing some fishing is what I need. But I can't see giving up golf time for fish. That's the problem I have.
Do you own a fishing pole?
No. I do not. I don't. No desire to fish. My dad used to take me fishing. He'd take me fishing out in New Hampshire and Maine and all that. So I go deep sea fishing, you know, here and there. Went a few months ago. Been out of Sebastian Inlet. With the Godfather, I've done plenty of that. Not plenty, but I've done it. I choose golf over fishing. But anyway, it does make you wonder. All right, kind of got off track here. I've been known to do that. Let's get to Doug Marrone. He said this today, And I really thought it was the most interesting part of his press conference as he wrapped up camp. He was talking about the next 6 weeks and keeping the players in shape, how much is too much, taking care of their bodies, working out. Thought he had a really good response to that.
You know, we really did a good job. You know, we brought in Dr. Sills, you know, came in, spoke to the team yesterday, which I think is important. Just from a player protection standpoint, we're talking about what they need to do, just right on point with that. And I think it's important. I think the one thing that our players, you know, we wanted to make sure they had a good understanding of, you know, what is expected of them, you know, when they leave, and more so really the proper way to train. You know, obviously the first 10 days of training camp, you know, lead to the most, you know, soft tissue injuries. And then so I've done, you know, I've made changes in the practice schedule where we're building up to that. But along the line, it's kind of, to put it in layman's terms, like if our players go out and they run 2.5-3 miles every day at a nice jog pace, they'll be in great condition, they'll be in great shape. But when we come out here and we have peaks in our performance of when we want them to really open up, that they're going to have to, you know, do a good job of doing that during the season, of being able to open up so they're better prepared when they come in for camp in those first 10 days.
You know, medicine changes, nutrition changes, your workouts change. I've always been very interested in that because soft tissue injuries occur all over the place in camp in the month of August. Not only here in Jacksonville, but it happens on college campuses and it happens around the NFL, happens in high school. It's one thing to be seriously really hurt. You rip a knee, you know, you rip an Achilles, something devastating like that. It's another thing to have a soft tissue injury. All right? You pull a hammy. You have a problem with your calf. You pull a groin. Doesn't sound nearly as bad, but you talk about the whole burst factor. I mean, a lot of people last year really challenged Leonard Fournette. How hurt was he? Was it pain tolerance, or was it his ability to go out and do his job, to have any burst? And you're never going to get the correct answer. The medical doctors, the team trainers aren't going to let you know. Doug Marrone's not going to let you know. The player himself is not going to let you know. I think that, you know, going back a few years ago, there was some misinformation and perhaps an opinion on Marquise Lee that wasn't valid. You know, we found out through time that Marquise really wanted to go out and play, but he couldn't get over the soft tissue injury. It is a big problem. And, you know, these next 6 weeks, these guys have so much pride. They take care of their body. Guys will go out and work out daily. I'm sure there's others who have a little old school in them. That is, forget about it. I'm taking a week off. I'm going to the beach, or I'm going scuba diving, or I'm going fishing, or I'm going golfing, or I'm going clubbing, or I'm doing whatever. I mean, I'm getting away from it. Forget about working out. I'm taking a little bit of time off. And, you know, people know their bodies. They know what to do and how to handle it. And I think it's different for everyone out there. As Leonard Fournette, who, of course, you know, got away, worked out in Wyoming. He reported into the best shape that we've ever seen him at 226 pounds and said all the right things and kind of disappeared, was here for four, and then left for the last six OTAs, obviously back this week for mandatory minicamp. I asked him about his plans over the next month and a half.
What are your plans for the next 6 weeks? You going to go to Wyoming, back to Louisiana, stay here? Do you know?
No, I'm probably going to vacation. Start back training somewhere. I'm going to find somewhere to go, but most likely it won't be my Wyoming, though.
Yeah, so no more of the Wyoming deal. But, you know, I was watching Leonard today. He was right next to us working on some receiving drills with Terry Rubisky. Exclusively, just him. Working on his hands. And I actually posted on Facebook, and I got ripped because apparently I'm not a good photojournalist. I took the thumbs and the index finger and expanded it to try to move in on a close-up, and when I posted it, you see from, like, the ankles to, like, the shoulders. So, like, the heads are off on my Facebook. Hey, that's what you got. Okay, I fail in situations like that. But it was of him and it was of Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey working on some drills with A.J. Boye. And Fournette working on his hands today. That is going to be a big part of what Leonard Fournette is going to be doing for this football team. That is catching the football. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, we'll put a final lid on things right here on this Thursday night. We'll come back. We'll do Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. That'll also include the very latest as far as a leaderboard from the United States Open. Tonight's show is brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now, the new GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab is available. $16,500 off select trucks. Choose a brand new one today. Remember, the powertrain warranty is always in effect. You buy a brand new Buick or a brand new GMC from Key, the powertrain warranty, their only dealership in Jacksonville, where you will find that. Located right there across from Tinseltown on the corner of South Side and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, that's the promo right there. That kind of gets me a little bit. I feel like maybe I am missing out. You know, I want to have conversations with people about live bait or lures. And to me. So maybe that's what I'll discover down the Keys. And I'll make that part of my repertoire. And I don't have to be during the final, 5 weeks for football. Certainly not going to be fishing during football season. That's for sure. Game 6 coming up tonight. Golden State actually favored by 2.5 points. LeVay, can they win?
Can Golden State win? Oh, absolutely. I mean, but Toronto, they're looking at 3-0 this year in Golden State. So that's a tough record there in that building.
Yeah, it really is. We'll see what happens. And, you know, we saw Game 7 last night. There's nothing better than a Game 7. So, you know, I could really care less. I mean, the Toronto thing does nothing to me. Golden State, the dynasty, I kind of appreciate that a little bit more. I enjoy dynasties. I enjoy teams that are able to maintain, particularly professionally. And certainly the Warriors have done that. Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. All right, a lot happening in the world of sports. Florida State lost their only wide receiver, really their only skill position guy, during the 2019 class. It's Maurice Goolsbee announced instead he will go baseball. And, you know, FSU had a primarily defensive class, a couple of offensive linemen, but, you know, if you're looking for running backs and wide receivers, this was not the year that Willie Taggart brought them in, and now they're without Maurice Goolsbee. He did announce that instead he will be taking the route of Major League Baseball. So that came in a little bit earlier today. The Jaguars did sign a couple of tryout players. I know we've talked about the Jags an awful lot today on the program, but they signed wide receiver Trey McBride, who has had stints with Tennessee and Chicago since being drafted in the seventh round of the 2015 NFL draft. And, you know, he's actually played a little bit, 16, 17, with those two teams, 17 career games. And are you ready for this one? They signed Kalani Vakamela-Lowe. Kalani Vakamela-Lowe. It is spelt V-A-K-A-M-E-I-L-A-L-O. He's a defensive tackle out of Oregon State. And they signed those two today. They say goodbye to long snapper Christian Kuntz. And they waived linebacker Nick DeLuca. So Jaguars made a couple of transactions as well on this Thursday as they broke for camp. Really a lot of NFL things I want to get into. I'm going to save a lot of them for tomorrow night, my final show before the vacay. The latest on the replay officials, some stuff on the Browns players now not being happy with what Baker Mayfield had to say. I want to allow more time for that. So that'll be part of the program coming up on Friday. Tiger Woods grinding out the back nine, consecutive pars now, 3 in a row, 10, 11, and 12. He goes to the par 13th, 451 yards. It's par 4. So he's got a par 4, a 5, a couple 4s, 3, and a 5 coming in. Par 71, obviously a 35 going out, a 36 coming in. 71 is the par. Tiger Woods right now at 1 under. He is one of 35 golfers in red figures. Atop the leaderboard, Louis Oosthuizen is at 5 under par. Xander Schauffele at 5 under. Ricky Fowler, 66 today as well. Minus 5 for Ricky, who has now turned 30. And he is still labeled as probably the greatest player in the world to have never won a major. 0 for 38. Lifetime at majors. Aaron Wise has just wrapped up his round as well. He posted a 66, 5 under par. So they'll begin their Friday rounds leading the 119th United States Open with a score of 5 under. That's one stroke ahead of both Scott Piercy and Nate Lashua. I'll give you a couple of other notables. We went through this about 45 minutes ago. But Rory McIlroy with a 68 today, 3 under. Brooks Koepka, who is on the golf course, is at minus 3. Koepka's through 13 right now. Justin Rose as well, minus 3 through 12. Let's see, Sergio Garcia, 69 today. That's 2 under. Francesco Molinari, who I almost picked when we went through our picks last night. He is at 2 under through 13. So playing some pretty good golf there. A couple of other notables. I did pick Jason Day. Thought he would be inspired by Steve Williams now. Looping for him on the bag. A minus 170. Let's see. Matt Kuchar, a minus 1 through 13. So Kuchar now in red figures. He added an even par a little bit earlier today. And that's basically it. Dustin Johnson, I'll give you even par 71. That'll wrap things up from the United States Open. Night golf. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to go home, watch this, and then really fall into the second half of Game 6 tonight between Toronto and Golden State. So there you have it. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Wonderful people right here in Jacksonville. If a very unfortunate situation has happened to someone that you know where they were seriously injured, it may even have been fatal, out on the road, and it was an accident caused by a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, anything along those lines, go to truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm in the state of Florida that does this exclusively. This is what they do, and they're based right here in Jacksonville. They're statewide, but their home office, bam, right here in the city. And as I say often, I hope you don't ever have to use them, because I hope that no one is injured that you know of. But if you're aware of the case, make sure they know truckcrashlaw.com. Very important. All right, tomorrow night, my final show before a vacation, and I got a couple of things planned on a Friday night. Obviously, we're going to keep you really updated on, you know, what is happening during the second round coverage out here at the United States Open. It looks like it's getting actually warmer out there at night. Let me check the weather. I know earlier today it was at 68, and last I saw it was 66. Well, it says 65 now. I don't know how accurate this is, but, you know, watching the golf today, a lot of players with jackets on and long sleeves on, and now as we move really into the night, and obviously with them being 3 hours behind us, seeing a lot of guys getting in with short sleeves, so that would appear to me that, because there wasn't a lot of wind early on, and, you know, that is going to be huge for this golf course, especially right there off the Pacific Ocean. And that is a major, major factor. And that's one thing that, you know, we talk about here at the Players, is that you can be out there on a Thursday and things can change on a Friday. They really changed this past year or this past March during the weekend, particularly late on Saturday, then on Sunday because of the wind. Well, you know how close the beach is and the water is from Ponte Vedra. Think about being here at Pebble, where you're literally right on the water. So wind is going to change this golf tournament as we continue to move throughout the course of the next 3.5 days.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit Moe'sCateringFL.com.
All right, James Coleman is here. It's time for the Sports Den. What is going on?
Yeah, man. Jags,
wrapping up mini camp.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette, 1,000 yards receiving in training camp.
Yeah.
A lot of guys joking about stuff.
A lot of drills for him today doing that. I love it.
Just, you know, letting off steam. Talk a little bit of recruiting. Denny and Hacker have one of 1,000 podcasts about Gators on 1010XL.com.
Yeah.
Called Gator Bites, I guess. And they or is that it? Or is that
it is Gator Bites.
Okay, yeah, that one. Yeah. They brought up the difference between a 3-star and a 4-star.
Uh-huh.
And apparently other Gator fans listened, and they got a little they had a little opinion about it. So we'll go in and we'll dive deep.
Okay.
I think me and Denny are qualified. We're around enough preps to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about
how much of a difference is there between a 3-star and 4. I've been following recruiting forever. I thought it used to come from really words of wisdom from respected coaches. How much of it comes from that compared to the analysts that are out there?
Yeah. Did you attend a camp
mm-hmm.
that an analyst could see you at?
Right.
How many offers you have and how pressing the schools are. If you're 6'5 instead of 6'2, if you run a 4.4 at their camp as opposed to a 4.7, it's really things that are minuscule.
Yeah.
There is different measurables
and things you do. It's not strictly what you do on the field.
It's definitely not what you do on your field because and there's a reason why. Because some people play a better competition than others, and some coaches do a better job of historically creating Division I athletes. So you go with those kind of stuff like that. But really, it's a bunch of pencil necks who've never really sweated in their life judging guys. Based upon who gives them the most access, and it's a popularity contest. That's why you see so many flame out. But there is a consensus when there's a 5-star, typically that kid has been very, very good. But if you really thought about it, they've peaked. A 5-star is typically already developed, where a 3-star, you may be able to see there may be a little bit more in them once they get to the right situation.
Yeah. All right. I look forward to listening to that. That's coming up right now. James Coleman and Denny Thompson. Have a good one.
All right.
All right, that's it. Matt LaVey produced the program tonight. He will do it again tomorrow night on a Friday. Thank you to everyone for being a part of it. Dan Popper joining us from The Athletic earlier in the program as well, as we kind of put the final thought on the wrapping up of minicamp today. And don't worry about it, folks. I mean, before you know it, football will be here. I'm telling you. I mean, here we are saying goodnight on the 13th day of June. I mean, it'll be here right before you know it, late July. It is here, whether you're ready for it or not. Blink twice and bam, summer's over, vacation's over, and football will be here with the Jags. So enjoy your time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Very interesting this football season, but certainly enjoy yourself up until that part. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now, the powertrain warranty is in effect for all vehicles that you purchase, brand new vehicles over there at Key. That includes the new GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. That is a truck that I have, I drive, and I love. You need to check it out. Plenty of trucks available, including that one. $16,500 you can save on that right now. So imagine that. That is a Key right there across the street from Tinseltown on Gate and Southside. Just go to KeyBuickGMC.com as well to check out everything there. Folks, have a great night. My name is Rick Ballew. Back tomorrow from 7 to 9 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.